That's a great hymn. Great. You look closely at the words of some of these hymns. My. So God-honoring. We won't sing any other kind. John 15. I fully intended to go from verse 9 to at least verse 20, but I didn't get past verse 9. What he says here is, who is sufficient for these things? Paul said that. Where does that leave us, John? Who can declare? Who can talk about, declare, and set forth the love of God for his people, the love of Christ, the sacrifice of Christ? Who? And I come, the Lord talked about loving one another as I loved you, and I come so far short of that. And I'm trying to teach you. So, but necessity is laid upon us. It's what I've got to do. Verse 9, here it is. Our Lord said to his disciples, as the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. Now our Lord, 40 times in the Gospel of John, talks about love. Love of God, his love. 40 times. Begins in John 3:16. Go there. That's the first time he mentions God loving. Okay, go there, John 3:16. And I don't want to spend too much time talking about who God does not love. Had a man recently write me, and he said, I'm thankful you don't spend all your time or too much time just attacking or renouncing false religion. And I hope I don't. But I've got to. Martin Luther said this, and I put this in my notebook. If I profess with the loudest voice and clearest exposition every part of the truth of God except that point which the world and the devil are attacking, I am not confessing Jesus Christ. And you know, and I know, that the message of this whole world is that God loves every one of you. The message of all false religions, God loves you, Jesus died for you. And it's like Brother Barnard, when the Lord sent that evangelist to reveal the true God to my father and many after him. Barnard got up and said the two biggest lies ever told, and neither one of them are so, that God loves every person and Jesus died for every person. He said that neither one of them said. And people have made a whole religion, a whole theology out of one verse out of the Bible, taken out of context. But John 3:16 is a blessed verse, a glorious verse, okay? Isn't it? And I have to say, you know, what they say is the greatest blasphemy that can be done against our God and dishonor is to say that he loves every single individual. All right, look at verse. That means he loved Pharaoh. Our Lord loved Herod. He loves Adolf Hitler. He loves the devil. Right? All right, John 3:16. Look at that. Now, my pastor used to say, to understand Scripture, the Holy Spirit has to give you understanding, but to understand Scripture, three things. You must know who is speaking. You must know who he's speaking to. You must know what he's speaking about. The whole subject here, our Lord Jesus Christ, it's our Lord speaking to a Pharisee named Nicodemus. And he's speaking about the new birth. And he begins very clearly by telling this man who thought he knew God but didn't know God, He said, you must be born again. Look at it. Verse 3. He said, verily, verily, this is true. I say unto you, you must, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said, how? How can a man be born when he's old? Can he enter his second time in his mother's womb and be born? Our Lord said, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is spirit, Holy Spirit. Marvel not that I said unto you, you must be born again. Now, did you contribute to your first birth? Anybody in here help your parents out? Did anybody's parents in here ask you if they could give you life? That's absurd, isn't it? So is the absurdity, or worse, that man gives birth to himself by his will or by his decision. We're born of God, and God gets all the glory. All right, read on. Our Lord said, verse 8, the wind bloweth where it listeth. Thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. Meaning, the Spirit comes and saves whom he will, when he will, because he will. That's what our Lord is talking about. And Nicodemus said, I don't understand this. Our Lord said, are you a teacher in Israel? Now he goes in down to verse 13, says, no man ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven. You can't get to heaven by anything you do or say. You can't do it. Or believe it, you can't do it. The Son of Man had to come down. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. That's Christ crucified. Nobody's going to get to heaven but through the blood of the Lamb, the Lord Jesus Christ. Who put him on that cross? Herod, Pontius Pilate, the Jews, the Gentiles, they all crucified him, but they did what God said to do. God did it. All right, who did he do it for? Was it an offer? It was an offer to him, and it wasn't an offer to man. Read on. And whosoever believeth in him should not perish. Who's he talking about? Believers. Right? Whosoever believeth. Why does anybody believe? What does Ephesians 2:8 say? By grace are you saved through faith. And that's not of yourself. It's the gift of God. Ephesians 1:19, you believe according to the working of His mighty power. You believe because God said, believe. Didn't ask you, He gave it to you. You can't help it. You had no choice in the matter. I'm glad. I was given a choice in the beginning, and I chose evil. Rebellion. That's all man will choose. But God. Chosen some of these rebels. Alright? For God so loved the world. That is, as Moses lifted up the serpent, Christ was hung on a cross for these believers. He was hung on the cross. Crucified. And he gave his only begotten Son as a sacrifice, as a substitute. A sin offering, a burnt offering, that whosoever believeth him should him. Who's he talking about? The believers. Should not perish, but have everlasting life. God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world. He's coming again to condemn the world. The first time He came to save, that the world through Him might be saved. He that believeth on Him is not condemned. There is no condemnation of them that are in Christ. He that believeth not is condemned already. Can you be under in the love of God and under the condemnation of God? Look at verse 36, verse 35. God loveth the Son, giving all things into his hand. That means his people. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. He that believeth not the Son shall not see life. The wrath of God abides on him. Can the love of God and the wrath of God abide on the same person? No way. He's talking about believers. He used the word world, didn't he? The word world. Why? Who's he talking to? That's the second point. Who's talking? God is talking. Who's he talking to? A Pharisee, a Jew. Jews believe that there's nobody in the world saved but Jews. That's what they believe. It's the Jews and the whole world. And God doesn't love any of them. And our Lord said, God so loved the world. Not just Jews, but he has a people out of every tribe, kindred, nation, tongue under heaven. And he saves out of the world. He's not saying, very, very clearly, he's not saying God loves every single individual in the world. No, no. Not at all. Because other places he plainly said, if God were your father, you'd love me. But you're not. He's not. He said, you're of your father, the devil. All right. So who receives him? Who believes? John 1, who receives it? Huh? Those that are born of God. Those that are born, not the will of the flesh, not the will of man, but born of God. All right? And look at chapter 8. Go over to chapter 8. In chapter 5, he said to some Jews, I just quoted it, he said, if God were your father, you would love me. You love me. In chapter 8, verse 42, this is it. Chapter 8, verse 42. He said, if God were your father, you would love me. Look at verse 44. You're of your father, the devil. That's what he said, didn't it? That's what he said. Now, the truth is this. The truth of God's love. The truth of Christ's love. Turn with me to Ephesians 1. Ephesians 1. The truth of God's love and Christ's love is if God loves someone, and he does, he loves many. Those he loved before the world began. That's what this book teaches. He chose them. He elected them. He gave them to Jesus Christ in a covenant that God made, ordered in all things, yes, predestined, every single thing about his children. Anybody in here, when your children were being born, did you get a nursery ready? And did you? You chose their name and got the nursery ready and all the little toys. And you made plans about what all you were going to do with that child. Well, you didn't ask the child. The child didn't have anything to do with anything. And you prepared everything for them, didn't you? And you gave birth to that child. Didn't ask it, you gave birth. All right, when it came into the world, he had everything all prepared for them. Who? Your child. Did you love them? Do you love them? Will you ever quit loving them? The love of God. He ordered everything. He loved his people before the world began. He gave them to Jesus Christ, the covenant head, the one whom he could trust, the one who, with all power in heaven and earth, he said, you go save my people. He said, I will. And John, he did. Every one of them. He said, no other sheep I have, I must bring them, or he's not the good shepherd. Whoever he loves, he saves. If he doesn't, he's not a Savior. Love never faileth. If he ever quits loving him, then he didn't love him in the first place. What good is that love? Look at Ephesians 1. Ephesians 1. They're loved eternally. They're loved effectively, effectually. savingly. Ephesians 1, blessed, verse 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us. Who's he talking to? The saints in Christ, chosen. He's blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places or things. It's in Christ. He's given us those he loved, John, he put into the hands of his beloved Son. And it's all according, verse 4, as he chose us in Christ before the foundation of the world that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. He did this out of his love to his people, his love to his Son. And we're all going to be in his love and going to be beholding him in that day in love with the Lamb, in love with one another. Now look at our text. Our Lord says in our text, John 15, and it began, our Lord began talking to his disciples. In the next three or four chapters, 37 times, he talks about love. And he's only talking to his disciples. You hear me? He is only talking to his disciples about the love of God for them, for him, and his love for them. Who's he talking to? The disciples. That's who he's talking to. In chapter 13, it says, when Judas left, our Lord, like a dog, said, get. And he went out there. All right? And then he started talking about the love of God. He said, a new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you. And from then on, he's talking to them, his disciples. Did they believe it? They sure did. Did they love it? They sure did. Why? Because he first loved them. He kept telling them, you did not choose me. Didn't they? You did not choose me. I chose you. Oh, brethren. God gets all the glory. You know that? He gets all the glory. That's why we must repudiate. We must refute. We must denounce. We must call it heresy and dishonor to our God. Say that it's casting the pearls before swine. The blood of Christ, the love of God under the feet of men to do with as they please. No, sir. We're going to exalt his sovereign love and mercy and grace. He said in John 15, verse 9, as the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. How did the Father love the Son? How does the Father love the Son? Well, Proverbs 8 talks about Christ being with him from the beginning. He said, I was daily his delight. Do you love your sons and daughters? Sure you did. You even love the wayward one, don't you? You even love the rebellious one. You do, don't you? How much more? How much more does a father love his children? Even the wayward ones. Like that prodigal son. I had that written down at the end of this chapter. It can't wait. The prodigal son, he was a worthless son, wasn't he? And God brought him to himself to see what he was in the hog pen, and you granted him repentance, and he came back, and Father, I'm not fit to be called a son. And before he reached the Father ran to him and fell on his neck and kissed him. How could you love, Father? How could you love such a wayward son? Because he's God, not a man. Because that's the love of God for his own. He said, as the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. How does God love his Son? He said over and over, thou art my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased. God never spoke out loud. He never spoke out loud. Until Christ walked the earth until his son was born of a woman. And then God spoke, angels, go down there and sing to the praise of my son's glory. He said, God created a universe to the glory of his son. God created all things for the glory of his son. God made man for the glory of his son. God made a church and a people for eternity to glorify his son, their bridegroom. Yes, that's what it's all about. That's why God did everything and anything. It's for the praise of the glory of his son, because he loves the son supremely. My beloved son. He never spoke out loud. But when Christ walked this earth, he said, thou art my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. And the only thing he's got to say to man is, you better hear him. You better come to him. And believe on him. Come through him. He said, as the Father hath loved me. How does God love his son? Well, God said, thou art but my beloved son. In thee am I well pleased. And the Lord glorified, God glorified his son. God gave him a name above every name. God set him at his right hand forever. And our Lord says, as he loved me, I love you. John, he talked about, he glorified his disciples. Past tense, didn't he? And in John 17, he said, I've given them my glory. The glory thou gavest me, I've given it to them. What's that? His son. To behold his glory. Are you with me? Don't let me lose you here. Okay? All right? He gave him a name which is above every name. There's not one name on earth that's going to be remembered. Not Lincoln, not Washington, not Jefferson. No name. But behold, what manner of love the Father should have bestowed upon us, that we should be called sons of God. He's given us a name above every name. Hadn't it? He's given all things into Christ's hand. All things. You know what he said about his people? He's given us all things to richly enjoy. All things are yours, Paul said. Why? Because we're joint heirs with Christ. He set his son at his right hand. Are you with me? Prepare to jump your pew. He set his son at his right hand. The scripture says we're seated together with him. We're going to sit with him in glory. Let me give you a story. Over in 2 Samuel 9. 2 Samuel 9, David said, David the king, the mightiest man on earth, said, I have decided, I have purposed to show mercy to someone of the house of Saul, mine enemy. A covenant I made with my beloved. I've purposed to save and have mercy on one of these rebel sons. Is there any of the house of Saul that I might show kindness for Jonathan's sake? They said, there's one down there. He's lame on both his feet. He can't come. He can't come. Fetch him! So he sent two mighty men down there and picked him up. Mephibosheth was his name. Brought him all the way to the throne of David and sat him at the throne of David. And David said, Mephibosheth, how do you know my name? I've known you before you were born. And here's what he said to Mephibosheth. I'm going to give you back everything you love. He said, you're going to sit at my right hand forever as one of the king's sons. And it says he sat right there, just like the king said, forever. David had six sons kill him. Six sons he loved dearly. Absalom was a son of his loved one. Absalom. But he said to Mephibosheth, his chosen, his elect, you are one of my sons because I said so. And I love you. I love you. And you're going to sit right there, and everybody and everything going to wait on you hand and foot. And God said that in Isaiah. He said, I gave Egypt for thee, Ethiopia and Seba for thy ransom. You were precious in my sight. Who did he say that to? Jacob. Jacob. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. So have I loved you. Now look at the next line. I quit. Look at this. He said here, and you know, John wrote, and we're gonna turn there in 1 John. Greater love hath no man than he. Our Lord wrote, and in 1 John. But he said in verse 9, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. Continue ye in my love. What does that mean? Turn to 1 John 4. 1 John 4. And we'll close here. 1 John 4. What does that mean? Does that mean there's something we can do to take ourselves out of the love of God? Does it mean that something we can do to make God quit loving us? He said, I've loved thee with an everlasting love. Having loved his own, he loved them to the end. He said, as the Father loved me, has God the Father ever quit loving his son? Huh? Well, Christ said, he'll never quit loving us. He said, I will by no means, in no wise cast you out. That's the love of God, not the love of man. But he says, continue in my love. And you know, Simon denied him, didn't he? Simon Peter. Did our Lord quit loving him? All the disciples forsook him. Did he forsake them? Can't. What does it mean to continue? It means continue hearing, believing, looking to, trusting in his love for us. There's not one single child of God who will say out loud, oh, how I love Jesus. Not one. There's not one of God's true people that put on their bumper sticker or on their t-shirt or anywhere, I sure love the Lord. We're ashamed of it, aren't we? Ashamed of it. The only thing, we must keep ourselves under the sound of the gospel, which tells us of his love for us. When Simon Peter denied the Lord, and the Lord loved him and would not deny him. And so the Lord sent word and sent somebody to bring him. Go tell my disciples and Peter, bring him. And they did. They brought him back. And he's thinking, for 3 days after he denied him, he's thinking, I cannot possibly be his disciple. Can't possibly. I denied him terribly. All disciples are thinking, he's not coming back. Look what we did to him. But if they had stopped and thought about everything he said before he went to that cross, he kept telling you, as God loves me, I love you. If John, if they'd all thought, we've denied him, but he said he wouldn't deny us. We act like we don't know him. He knows us. We act like we don't love him, but he said he'll never quit loving us. That'll keep your mind, your heart, and your soul in perfect peace. 1 John 4, look at 1 John 4, 8. He that loveth not knoweth not God. God is love. In this was manifested the love of God toward us. See whose love he He's exalted. Because God sent His only begotten Son into the world. Now, John was standing there when the Lord said all this. John wrote the Gospel of John. John wrote this. John wrote John 3:16. John wrote 1 John 4:9. He said, "In this was manifested the love of God toward us." Who? Who? He keeps talking about the beloved, the beloved, the beloved. Little children, little children, little children. Doesn't it? That's who this whole letter is to. Read on. "That God sent His Son, His only begotten Son, into the world that we might live through Him. Herein is love, not that we loved God, but He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins." Beloved, beloved, if God so loved us, who? Who's the us? His people. We ought also to love one another. It goes on down in verse 17. "Herein is our love made perfect, considering His love." Continue in my love, He said. Continue thinking about, dwell on. Jude wrote this. He said, "Keep yourselves in the love of God." Same thing. What he's saying is, keep yourself under the sound of the gospel. If you leave, if you go out into the world and forsake Him for the shortest amount of time, you think you're lost. You'll think you're lost. You'll forget everything you ever heard, like a disciple. And you remember Hosea? Keep reading Hosea. Here's how to keep yourselves in the love of God. Keep your nose in the book of Hosea. Okay? This, you'll know something about the love of God. This is to His glory. It's to our peace and our comfort. Keep yourselves reading Hosea. Go, love Him. And he talked about Ephraim. He said, "Ephraim's joined to his idols. Leave him alone. Leave him alone." And then later he says, "I can't. Can't leave him alone. He's mine. Go get him." See, His people are prone to wander. Are you prone to wander? Anybody? Every single one of His sheep, He gave this illustration, this parable. He said, "What man among you who loses one sheep will not leave the 99 and go after one? And when he finds it," when he finds, not if, when he finds it, says he lays it on his shoulder and brings it all the way back home. And he said, "There's joy in heaven over one sinner that repented. And all praise and glory and honor to the shepherd who found that wandering sheep." Again and again and again. Keep yourselves under the sound of and with this love in your heart and in your mind. Does that make sense? Doesn't mean it's something you can do to keep God loving you. Come on. Come on. And so, he says, "As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you." In our next study, he's going to tell us, now you love one another. You know who is forgiven much will do what? Love much. Is there anything that any of those disciples could do to Mary Magdalene that she wouldn't forgive? Is there anything any one of them would do, go out there and get into that... It took a vote, and Mary Magdalene wouldn't say, "Bring them back." None won. That's how God loves His people. That's how Christ forgives His people. And He's going to go on and tell us, "Now you love that way. If you don't, you have the love of God in you." That's very plain. Okay. Let's sing a closing hymn.